After the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, the Lord said, "The abatement of the earth's great burden, 18 Akshohinis, had now been effected with the help of Drona, Bhishma, Arjuna and Bhima. But what is this? There is still a great strength of the Yadu dynasty, born of myself, which may be a more unbearable burden." I had to read it many times until I really started to understand what the verse was meaning. And even after reading a lot of times, I just could not figure out what the meaning. And then I understood how precious the purports of Srila Prabhupada are to give clarity into the verse. So for all of you who did not get fully the meaning of the verse, please be very careful for the purport. Everything is nicely explained there. Purport. It is a very wrong theory that due to increase of population, the world become overburdened, and therefore there are wars and other annihilating processes. The earth is never overburdened. The heaviest mountain and oceans on the face of the earth hold more living entities than there are in human beings, and they are not overburdened. If a census were taken of all living beings on the surface of the earth, certainly it will be found that the number of humans is not even 5% of the total number of all living beings. If the birth rate of human beings is increasing, then the birth rate of other living beings is increasing proportionately. The birth rate of lower animals, beasts, aquatics, birds, etc. is far greater than that of human beings. There is an adequate arrangement for food for all living beings all over the earth by the order of the Supreme Lord. And He, the Supreme Lord, can arrange more and more if there is actually a disproportionate increase of living being. Therefore, there is no question of an increase in population causing a burden. The earth becomes overburdened due to dharma glani, or irregular discharge of the Lord's desire. The Lord appears on the earth to curb the increase of miscreants and not the increase in population, as it is wrongly put forward by the mundane economists. When Lord Krishna appeared, there had been a sufficient increase in miscreants who had violated the desire of the Lord. Again, not working?
Oh. I think it's not on the mic.
Yeah, it is. I think we have a ghost in our sound system. Sometimes working, sometimes not. So, where was I? When the Lord appeared, there has been a sufficient increase in miscreants who had violated the desire of the Lord. The material creation is meant for fulfilling the desire of the Lord, and His desire, the desire of the Lord, is that the conditioned souls who are unfit to enter into the kingdom of God have a chance to improve their condition for entering. The entire process of cosmic arrangement is intended just to give a chance to the conditioned souls to enter the kingdom of God. And there is an adequate arrangement for their maintenance by the nature of the Lord. So the purport, go a little further. Maybe I just summarize shortly what the purport said until here, and then we read the second part. Because in this verse we hear about the earth being overburdened. And Srila Prabhupada explained that actually the earth is never overburdened by an increase of population, by an increase of people on the earth, like scientists sometimes say. But actually the earth is overburdened when people who are living on the earth are not following the rules of God. And then Srila Prabhupada very, very nicely, he said that material creation explain why he explained why actually the Supreme Lord, what is the whole meaning of this material creation. Actually, let me ask the question. Yeah, he said, material creation is meant to fulfill the desire of the Lord. That's very nice. And then he said, but what is this desire of the Lord? I guess, yeah, exactly. That's the desire of the Lord. That's the whole arrangement of this material creation, so that actually all living entity can progress and go back finally into the eternal realm, into the spiritual world. So I continue. There is one paragraph more. Therefore, although there may be a great increase in population on the surface of the earth, if the people are exactly in line with God consciousness and are not miscreants, such a burden on the earth is a source of pleasure for her. There are two kinds of burdens. There is the burden of the beast and the burden of love. The burden of the beast is unbearable, but the burden of love is a source of pleasure. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the burden of love very practically. He says that the burden of the husband on the young wife, the burden of the child on the lap of the mother, and the burden of wealth on the businessman, although actually burdens from the viewpoint of heaviness, are source of pleasure. And in the absence of such burdensome objects, one may feel the burden of separation, which is heavier to bear than the actual burden of love. Amazing what Prabhupada is giving here. When Lord Krishna referred to the burden of the Yadu dynasty on the earth, he referred to something different than the burden of the beast. The large number of family members born of Lord Krishna counted some millions and were certainly a great increase in the population of the earth. But because all of them were expansion of the Lord himself, by his transcendental planetary expansions, there were a source of great pleasure for the earth. When the Lord referred to them in connection with the burden on the earth, he had in mind their imminent disappearance from the earth. All the members of the family of Lord Krishna were incarnations of different demigods, and they were to disappear from the surface of the earth along with the Lord. When he referred to the unbearable heaviness on the earth in connection with the Yadu dynasty, he was referring to the burden of their separation. Srila Jiva Goswami confirmed this inference. Kiyan buvoyam kshapito ruparo yatro nabishma chunabhima mulai asta dashaksho hiniko madamshai aste balam dur vishaham yadunam. So now we hear again the verse, maybe we can understand the verse better after this purport. After the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, the Lord said, "The abatement of the earth's great burden, 18 Akshohinis, had now been effected with the help of Drona, Bhishma, Arjuna and Bhima. But what is this? There is still the great strength of the Yadu dynasty, born of myself, which may be a more unbearable burden." Om jana timiram dasya gyanam jana shalakaya chakshurun minitam yena tasmei shi gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this purport also Srila Prabhupada mentioned another point. He's explaining that even if the human population will increase in big number, there will never be scarcity, that the Lord will always arrange that there is enough for every living entities on the earth to eat. And sometimes he is giving the example of the elephant. No one need to feed them. Everything is just there, available for their maintenance. So that's another point Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that actually the Lord is always making all the arrangements for all living entities. Even if we are in a big number, he can just make all arrangements necessary. The only problem is when the population and the human beings particularly do not follow actually the laws of Krishna, the laws of God. And then this become a burden, the burden of the beast, like Prabhupada quote. But then he explained about the burden of love. And he explained this is the burden of the devotees, of all those who actually follow the rules of Krishna in this earth. And this burden is actually a source of pleasure for the earth. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives these three example analogy of the man, which is not a burden for the wife, the child which is not a burden for on the lap of the mother, and the money or wealth which is actually not a burden for the rich man. Although those are burdens, they are actually a source of pleasure. But when they don't have that, when the rich men do not have wealth, when the child do not have the lap of his mother, and when the wife do not have the weight of her husband, then they experience the weight of separation. Very, very beautiful how Srila Prabhupada explained. And then Srila Prabhupada explained that actually the Yadu dynasty, there were so many, I think even millions some millions. But because they were all expansions of Krishna, they were actually all a great source of pleasure for the earth. Now, why is here Krishna speaking of the unbearable burden of the Yadu dynasty? So in one sense we can think, okay, speak about the burden of love, because they are part and parcels, incarnation of Krishna, and very dear and close to Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada gives this very deep detail or deep insight that comes actually from Jiva Goswami, that actually Lord Krishna knew that very soon all the dynasty, all the Yadu dynasty will leave the world. And therefore Lord Krishna was already thinking of this burden of separation. It's really such a great example, this verse, how we cannot understand Shastras on our own. First of all, we have first-class translation, word by word. Then we have first-class verse that we don't get in all literature or all books on Srimad Bhagavatam. Already we have that. But even that is not sufficient. We need like elaborate purport so that we can actually enter a little bit into the vast ocean of knowledge that the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us. So I'm very happy. I like very much this point of burden, of different type of burdens, and I will try to speak a little bit on this burden of love, burden of the beast. My Guru Maharaj often spoke about, by giving this example of the burden of love of a man, he gave the example of a family in India who are actually very poor, and the man is actually going outside of the village to a big town every week, and he is working very hard. He is eating just few chickpeas every day, and he will get really a very small amount of money for the work he's doing. But in his mind he knows, when I come back with this money, I will be able to buy milk for my child. And because of that, he's able to go actually through a very big austerity, because he knows this burden is a burden of love. This burden is there to feed my child. So we can see also in our lives that sometimes we seem to be overburdened, even with service, even overburdened with devotional service. But we should never forget, we should never become bitter or become agitated because of that. We should remember that it's actually burden of love that we are taking. And we see also in devotional life, especially when institution is there, in order to spread Krishna consciousness, there is need of devotees who take responsibilities. And this is very often a great burden, to take responsibilities. That means a lot of anxieties, a lot of weight, a lot of burden. But this is a burden of love. This is something that is very necessary. And I would like to make this point that many of us have beautiful, beautiful abilities in serving Krishna. But very often we are not wanting to take the burden. Although it's a burden of love, but we often will try to escape that. We will try to escape using our best abilities in Krishna's service to not be inconvenienced by the situation. And maybe it's not yet a deep love inside of our heart, because burden of love means we need to feel some love so that we can carry the burden. It's like going together. So obviously if we don't have much love for Krishna, we might not feel so much wanting to carry the burden of love, because love is not so much present yet. Now, how is that love grow? So that we can carry more burden on our shoulders. This love for Krishna grows when Krishna reciprocates to us, when Krishna manifests to us, when Krishna reveals to us. Then this love is just growing and growing and growing. And how will that love grow? How will that reciprocation from Krishna come? Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, Yeyatamam prapadyante tam stateva vajamyaha. Mamam anuvartamte I was always bad with words. Sorry, I tried at least. But as much one surrenders to me in the same proportion, I will reveal myself to him. So in order to have this love growing, in order for Krishna to manifest, it is dependent on our effort to surrender to Krishna consciousness. So I would like to speak a little bit about surrender for a while and then come back to the point of weight or burden. Surrender, the surrender attitude is the soul of bhakti. Very deep, very, very important, very essential point for our devotional life. So where do we surrender? In which areas do we surrender? We surrender, for example, in service. Oh, Prabhu, can you do this service? Can you do that service? Of course, I like to do service. I want to do that service. This is surrendering. Surrendering into instructions of spiritual master, instructions of the Vaishnavas. There are many different types of surrender. Surrender of the body into the activities. Surrendering our mind to our chanting of japa, to the way we are practicing Krishna consciousness with our heart, with fixing our mind on good attitudes while performing devotional service. So there is subtle type of surrender, there are gross type of surrender. I would like to speak a little bit about surrendering to the process of instructions. The instructions that are given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the instructions that are coming from our spiritual master. I found a quote that said that it is easier to tolerate fasting and severe austerities. It is easier to tolerate that than to surrender to the words of the sadhus. There is the example in Srimad Bhagavatam of Maharaj Priyavrata, who was actually living in the forest, deeply absorbed in bhajan, deeply absorbed in meditation on Krishna, deeply experiencing highest bliss. And then Lord Brahma came. I think it was Lord Brahma, I'm not 100% sure. But I think Lord Brahma came and he said, "Now you please become the emperor of the world. Now you please give up your meditation, marry, have family life and become emperor of the world." Can you imagine for Bhajan Anandi to take such a responsibility? Must be quite such a heavy request. But Maharaj Priyavrata, because it was requested by Lord Brahma and ultimately knew this is the desire of Lord Krishna behind, he just accepted and just did the step. We see also very often in this type of, when people ask us to do service, how it is sometimes so difficult to say yes. I remember when I was young Bhakta, I was in Zurich temple, and once a week they would bring big box of vegetables, fruits, and for the whole week we will get the load of vegetable and fruits. And one day everything came, and one other devotee said, "Can you just help me to bring that to the cellar?" It was like 10-15 minutes of service, and I said, "No, sorry, Prabhu, I have something else to do." And then he looked at me and said, "This is not the proper attitude. 10 minutes you can give. You now please come and help us." And very often the mind is there as impediment for us to surrender, because we have our own agenda. Now I do this, then I do that, then I do this, then I do that. And suddenly someone comes and asks us for service, which takes us out of our agenda. And it is so difficult to say, "Yes, I change my agenda and I do the service." I was visiting Wiesbaden temple this weekend, and at the end, although it was very nice, but I was very happy to leave. I felt, wow, because it was quite intense, so I felt, okay, now we did our service, now cello, let's go, finish. And just at the time we were leaving the temple, the president of the temple is taking care of children who have some difficulties in life as his work. And suddenly he arrived with those children, and he asked me, can we just do a short bhajan for those children? And I was just so fixed, now I go. I say, I'm sorry, but now we really have to go. And he said, yeah, no problem. And I just spoke just a few words to the boys and tried to compensate a little bit my lack of surrender by being a little bit kind. And then we went in the car and we left. And then I understood, I blew it. I did not take the chance that was given to me. And very often we have ability to surrender. Krishna gives us so many opportunity to surrender. But very often, because this attachment of our own concepts, attachment of our own agenda, it's very difficult actually to accept those opportunity to surrender. And Krishna said, as soon as the soul surrender, immediately I reveal to him in proportion. So whenever we are not able to surrender to the situation that comes, we are actually missing the opportunity for Krishna to reveal to us. Those concepts that we have in the mind are so deep. Also when instructions come from the spiritual master or the Vaishnava, so often we think, I know better what is right and what is wrong. Even when the guru is sometimes telling us what to do, we think, oh, my guru doesn't understand me. I know better what is good for me. Once Kadambakanana Swami was saying, is it the guru who don't understand the disciple, or is it the disciple who don't understand the guru? Because when we understand that guru is direct manifestation of Krishna, and that guru can receive all knowledge from Krishna, who knows everything about how to guide us, when we understand guru, then we will never think guru do not understand us. Once I was in Russia, we were driving to Moscow airport, and Viprakrit Prabhu was driving us. And Viprakrit Prabhu is asking a lot of questions, very sincere sadaka, and he was asking Satchinandana Swami about surrender. How do we do to surrender? It's not easy to surrender. How can we surrender more? And Maharaj said, we need courage to surrender. And I get all the strength and courage to surrender in the chanting of the holy name. I found very beautiful this amazing strength that is generated when our chanting of the holy name is done in a proper way, will actually allow us to surrender more and more. Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati quote that it's actually very easy to surrender. He said it's very easy to surrender because it is the nature of the soul. This is our real nature inside of us. Therefore, it should not be such a complicated thing to surrender. That's us. That's our nature. I found last quotation on this point of surrender. I found a very beautiful quotation that comes from this book, The Saints of Braj. There was one sadhu who was deeply absorbed in chanting the holy name, and he's giving an advice how one can chant the holy name without being disturbed or inattentive into the chanting. this sadhu, I need to get his name, I did not write it down, said, real chanting of the holy name is not possible without complete surrender and total dependence on Krishna. Only then can we experience calmness of the mind. A mind disturbed by worldly anxieties is not fixed for chanting. It's a very, very beautiful point. Only when we totally let go of all anxieties, of all we think we should control, of all those things that are in the mind, and just surrender, and just become in total dependency on the Lord, then only the mind can be totally calm so that we can chant the real holy name. Some months ago I was visiting Leipzig temple, and Kadamba Kanana Swami was also there visiting, and he was giving a very, very nice point. He was saying we should become heavy. We should become very heavy with the burden of bhakti. And he was saying, when we become full of this bhakti shakti, when we become heavy with bhakti, nothing can disturb us. We are totally grounded. We are totally there. But when we don't have this weight of bhakti, then we start to fly. We start to go up like a balloon, and then small, very small wind just bring the balloon so far away, and here and there. But when we are heavy with bhakti, we actually do not become disturbed in any situation. We are totally fixed, totally grounded. So I would like to end this lecture. Yesterday, Madhavananda Prabhu was speaking about sat prasang. No, how was it? Satam? Satam prasangam. He was explaining difference between sangam and pratsangam. And he was saying this prasangam is this pure, coming from a pure devotee or the pure Krishna Katha. And I found we should hear more of this pure Krishna Katha. And I would like to tell you a pastimes of Lord Krishna. I will try to speak on pure Krishna Katha, which is very much connected to weight. I always forgot what age was Krishna at that time, but I think 1 or 2 years old, very, very young. Mother Yasoda had baby Krishna on her hand, and she was walking into the palace of Nanda Maharaj, and she was fondling him, caressing him, and looking at his beautiful face. And sometimes Mother Yasoda would throw baby Krishna in the air and catch him back, like mothers or fathers like to do. And Krishna liked this so much. Krishna liked so much, but Krishna was thinking, it's not high enough. I want to go higher than this. It's not high enough. At that time, a big demon that had been sent by Kamsa. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah. Okay, maybe 4 months or something like this. Let's say very, very small. Yeah, otherwise it will be too heavy to... So at that time, one of the demons sent by Kamsa, the demon Trinavarta, started to approach in the aim of killing Krishna. Krishna could feel that the demon was approaching, and Krishna decided to reveal an ecstatic of his childhood pastimes to show compassion to those rotting in this material world. Beautiful, huh? Krishna thought, okay, the demon is coming, let's make a beautiful childhood pastime for all those who are rotting in the material world. That's us. The cooked frogs, like Madhavananda was saying yesterday. So Krishna thought, this demon is coming now close to me. If the demon attack when Mother Yasoda is there, she will die. I need to arrange that Mother Yasoda goes away. So as Mother Yasoda was playing with baby Krishna started to become very, very heavy. A very, very big burden that Mother Yasoda just could not carry Krishna anymore. She was wondering, what is happening? She had to place Krishna on the ground and she was just totally amazed. And Krishna was looking at her like nothing was happening, like he did not know anything was happening. Mother Yasoda looked in the direction of Vaikuntha and she prayed, "My Lord, you gave me this child. Now, please, you protect him." And then she thought, this is too strange. Let me go and get the Brahmin, the Brahmanas. Let me go and get the Brahmanas so that I can come and chant mantras for my child. So she just ran away to get the Brahmanas and let Krishna alone in front of the house. And at that time, a small breeze started to blow. And then stronger wind. And then stronger and stronger. And then Trinavarta was there. And Trinavarta was showering deadly, was throwing deadly shower of dust, broken pots and grass and everything on the bridge passes. The bridge passes were deeply affected by this terrible wind. And at the same time, the sand of dust were happily dancing in the sky. So much dust in the sky, the whole sun became covered and the whole atmosphere became very grey. Mother Yasoda ran back to the house and was calling, "Krishna, Krishna, where are you, where are you?" And at that time, Trinavarta came and in one whirlwind just took baby Krishna. And at that time, baby Krishna became as light as a feather. He changed his weight again. And then Trinavarta took him up high, high in the sky. And as Trinavarta was going high in the sky, the dust fell on the ground on Braj Bhumi. And they could again see. And they just all noticed Krishna was gone. Everyone started to cry, especially Mother Yasoda and all the gopis. They were looking everywhere and they were just in so much anxiety because Krishna is in the center of their life. Krishna is their own life. Srila Prabhupada writes very beautiful purport in this moment. He said, "Mother Yasoda loudly and pitifully wept, like a cow whose calf has died. Filled with love, the other gopi of Braj felt very much aggrieved and joined Mother Yasoda in crying. Their eyes full of tears, the gopis also wept while searching for Krishna, for Nanda Maharaj's son. This attachment of the gopis to Krishna is wonderful and transcendental. The center of all activities of the gopis was Krishna." A little bit later, Srila Prabhupada writes also very beautifully. He said, "In transcendental life, as soon as a devotee merges into lamentation due to separation from Krishna, he immediately experiences the Lord's transcendental activities and merge in transcendental bliss. Actually, such a devotees are always in transcendental bliss, and such apparent calamity provide a further impetus for that bliss." As Trinavarta was taking Krishna in the sky, all this wind was actually spreading the wonderful and sweet fragrance of Krishna's body all over the universe through the wind. And Krishna was so happy. Finally, I can see Braj, Vrindavan Dham, from high. I have another perspective on Vrindavan Dham. And then Krishna, Trinavarta was going higher and higher in the sky. And Krishna was thinking, let's go even higher, even higher, so I can give my darshan to the heavenly ladies in the sky. When the heavenly ladies got their darshan, Krishna thought, okay, we are high enough now. So again, Krishna started to change his weight and started to become heavier and heavier, and the demon was becoming slower and slower and slower until the moment he stopped and was stuck in the sky by the weight of Krishna, could not go any further. And then Krishna did something amazing. Krishna looked down on the ground and pretended to be afraid. And because of this pretending of being afraid, he just took the neck of Trinavarta in his arms. And Krishna looked like a beautiful emerald jewel that was hanging on the neck of Trinavarta. Although the arms of Krishna who were around the neck of Trinavarta were fragrant like aguru and soft like twigs, no, like, how do we call the stem of lotus flower, Trinavarta experienced the arms of Krishna like fire, like death. And at that time, Krishna started to increase the strength of his embrace. And Trinavarta could not bear anymore. His eyes popped out his head and he left his body. He could not speak anything, could not say anything, just left his body and immediately merged back into the body of Krishna. And then that was the time to go back to Vrindavan. So that was a big, big, big and fast going back to Vrindavan. And then when Trinavarta and Krishna reached the earth, there was a big crash, and there was quite a bit of a mess from the body of Trinavarta. But Krishna was totally unaffected. All the limbs of Trinavarta were spread all around on the earth, everywhere, and on the chest of Trinavarta, baby Krishna was happily smiling and laughing. All the Brijbasis with so much anxiety were crying all the time. Suddenly they saw baby Krishna on the chest of Trinavarta. What a sight! What a recomfort for their hearts who were suffering so much separation. And do you know how did they see Krishna? They saw Krishna like a blossoming Parijat flower in a garden of thorn. They saw Krishna as a small shining lamp in the middle of a dense darkness. They saw Krishna as a river of nectar flowing in the desert. They saw Krishna as the flower of personified bliss on the top of the tree of misery. The gopis became overwhelmed with joy and picked up Krishna and brought Krishna to Mother Yasoda. They were so jubilant, so happy, that Krishna became even more happy just to see the happiness of his own devotees. When Mother Yasoda received Krishna back in her arms, she spoke to Krishna. She said, "Oh, darling, from the time of your birth, you have caused so much trouble to your mother. Of course, this is not your fault. So how can I blame you? I am the one who left you outside unprotected. This shows that my heart is dry as wood, and therefore I am qualified as your mother in name only. So this is very, very beautiful pastime, a lot of poetic statements from our Acharya, and so nice to hear about Krishna. And now Janmashtami is coming, we should hear more and more about him and remember him. And so that was the whole, I tried to make the whole topic a little bit connected with the burden, the burden of love. The burden of love, as much we surrender to Krishna, as more Krishna reciprocates to us. And as more he reciprocates, as more this love increases in our heart. And as more this love is there, as more we are able to carry heavier, heavier weight of love. Because those weight of love are actually weight of pleasure. They are weight of bliss. They are weight of ecstasy. It's very nice to have them. So I stop here. If you have any questions or comments. I would say the first thing is also very important to check out our motivation when we do surrendering activities. Because very often we might do big endeavors or big surrender activities for our own prestige, for being appreciated and loved by others. But those type of surrender, they do not bring much reciprocation from Krishna directly. So therefore, we do a lot of surrender, but we don't get what we are supposed to get from the surrender. And therefore, after sometimes a lot of frustration might come. I have surrendered so much and Krishna did not appear or did not reciprocate as he promised to me. But if the attitude or the motivation of our surrender is not properly orientated, then our act of surrender will be tiring, will be taking our energy, will be heavy. At the same time, definitely the point you make is very important. We need to know our limits. And it's very interesting because Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained in connection to the rules and regulations. He said that actually at every step of our development in spiritual life, we have rules and regulations. But according to our advancement, we will give up some rules and accept new rules that are actually favorable for our stage of advancement. Very, very interesting point. And he even mentioned that if we are attached to those rules of the beginning, we will not be able to progress further. Those rules will become impediment for us to progress further. So I think very, very often we see this surrender as a physical pushing of ourself. We see, usually because it's easier than the subtle surrender of surrendering our mind, of surrendering our attitudes to Krishna. So definitely we need to be very aware of our limitations, and especially the limitation of the body. So many times Srila Prabhupada mentioned that we should sleep as less as possible. And this is right. But my Guru Maharaj often said we have chronically tired devotees that all the time fall asleep during lectures. How do you get off a lecture when you are sleepy? I mean, when we are sleepy in a lecture, the lecture is a torture. It's a torture. Either you just sleep and feel everything is all right. Either you think I need to show respect to the speaker, I should keep awake, and then it's a torture to keep awake. When you are tired and you want to chant your rounds, it's a torture. It's just no way. The mind is just not letting you any peace. The mind is just all the time criticizing. It's just all the time giving you the source. So sometimes we see devotees are pushing themselves so much to sleep less and to maybe appear as great devotees because of that. But because we are not pure enough, our mind just do not collaborate and just give us heavy time. And then our progress is really, really slow. Really, really slow because we cannot hear. We cannot hear the holy name, we cannot hear lectures, we cannot do anything properly. So definitely we need to be very... We need guidance, actually. We need guidance so that we can find proper balance into our service and our bhajan. Also, so many devotees do so many external service, but neglect to surrender to the service of reading Srila Prabhupada books, which is one very essential instruction of Prabhupada. So therefore we need really guidance from our spiritual master and from authority to get the proper balance, how much we need to surrender. And also in my development now, in my stage now of my spiritual life, where should I surrender most? Where is the area? What are the most important rules? And what rules are maybe not so important to follow anymore? So I think we need, it's very essential point that I think we need guidance and openness from us to detach from those lower rule on which we are attached to, because this attachment is very strong and it's very sometimes very difficult to give them up. But if we want to progress, it's necessary. Thank you for this question. So we are almost at 9 o'clock. Any urgent comment or questions? No. So we'll stop here. Thank you for your attention. And this festival will give us a lot of opportunity to surrender and a lot of opportunity also to not go too much over our border and time to times to go to the forest and have sometimes to be alone or maybe eventually rest under a tree, because in the festival usually we don't get much opportunity to rest. So that will be actually a very nice time for experiencing this surrender attitude and to get reciprocation from Krishna also. So we can work on the purity of our surrender, that whatever surrendering is there, that we really try to do it for the pleasure of Krishna and that we really avoid to do it for our own ego, of our own recognition. Jai, I stop here. Ganantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.